Ladies and gentlemen, good day and welcome to Styrenix Performance Materials Limited conference call. We have with us today from the management of Styrenix Performance Materials Limited, Mr. Rahul Agrawal, Managing Director, Mr. Bhupesh P. Porwal, Chief Financial Officer, and Mr. Chintan Doshi, Manager, Legal and Company Secretary. As a reminder, all participant lines will be in the listen-only mode, and there will be an opportunity for you to ask questions after the presentation concludes. Should you need assistance during the conference call, please signal an operator by pressing star, then zero on your touch-tone phone. Please note that this conference is being recorded. Further, on behalf of the management of the company, we would also like to remind the participants that this call is being conducted subject to and in line with the disclaimer mentioned in the investor presentation as is available on the stock exchanges. I now hand the conference over to Mr. Bhupesh P. Porwal. Thank you, and over to you, sir.
Ladies and gentlemen, namaste everyone. I am pleased to welcome you to our Q2 and half-year ended September 2024 conference call. As we reflect on our performance in fiscal year 2025, I am delighted to announce that we have witnessed a robust demand of our products in H1 FY25, marking a significant growth trend. We have also completed debottlenecking activity at Dahej in the end of September 2024, increasing the capacity of PS from 66 KT to 100 KT. We are pleased to inform that with the minor capital expenditure, we have significantly augmented our PS capacities. We plan to complete debottlenecking of ABS in the second half of this financial year. Our focus on sustainability and cost optimization is continuously aimed to maximize business value. In Dahej, we have successfully converted our fuel source from natural gas to renewable fuel source for achieving our sustainability targets and better cost optimization at the end of September 2024. We are on track to carry out similar changes in our other plants as well. Our expansion plan is going as per schedule. We will update you on this more once further details are available. Coming on to our financial performance, Q2 FY25 highlights: sales volume for Q2 was 42 KT versus 48 KT in Q1 FY25. That is, it has dropped by 13.5% and by 7.3% compared to Q2 FY24. This is mainly because of shutdown taken at the Dahej plant for the debottlenecking. Revenue stood at 653 crore in Q2 FY25 versus 699 crore in Q1 FY25. That is decreased by 6% and increased by 10.3% compared to Q2 FY24, which was 595 crore. PBDIT stood at 105 crore, that is 15.9%, which is better by 2.8% compared to Q1 FY25 and better by 1.5% compared to Q2 FY24. PAT stood at 70 crore, that is 10.6%, which is better by 1.9% compared to Q1 FY25 and better by 1.2% compared to Q2 FY24. Coming to half-yearly FY25 highlights, sales volume for H1 FY25 stood at 90.1 KT versus 84.7 KT in H1 FY24. That is, it has increased by 6.5%. Revenue stood at 1,352 crore versus 1,139 crore. That has increased by 19% compared to H1 FY25. PBDIT stood at 197.4 crore. That is 14.5% better, which is better by 2.4% compared to H1 FY24. PAT stood at 131.3 crore. That is 9.6%, which is better by 1.9% compared to H1 FY24. Q2 FY25 saw a better price realization. We expect Q3 to be average based on historical industry trends. This is all about highlights for the quarter and half-year, and now we may proceed to answer the questions you may have. Thank you.
Thank you. We will now begin the question and answer session. Anyone who wishes to ask a question may press star and one on their touchtone telephone. If you wish to remove yourself from the question queue, you may press star and two. Participants are requested to use handsets while asking a question. Ladies and gentlemen, we will wait for a moment while the question queue assembles. The first question is from the line of Nirali Gopani from Unique PMS. Please go ahead.
Sanjay, hi. Thanks for the opportunity. So Rahul, since the last few quarters, you have been fairly emphasizing on improving the product mix to enhance overall profitability, and this quarter results reflect that change. So can you elaborate, like, how has the product mix changed over the last few quarters?
Yeah, hi Nirali, is that all? Or do you have anything else to ask as well? If you can ask all your questions together, I can answer accordingly.
Then I'll do that. Also wanted to know that how has the raw material price behaved? Like, does this quarter have any special one-off when it comes to raw materials, any inventory gain? Lastly, you had mentioned in the last call that, you know, we will update on our CAPEX number after the engineering study is done. So any update on that side? Yeah, that's it.
Okay, thanks Nirali for your questions. With regards to product mix change, this is a continuous process. We are continually looking at product mix improvements that we can do. However, as far as this particular quarter is concerned, there is not anything significantly different. Yes, there is a product mix which is reflecting certain realizations that we see in this quarter, but it is not of a significant nature per se. I mean, there is a specific trend, and that trend and that trajectory is in the manner which we have projected and we are working towards. As far as raw material changes are concerned, raw material changes have not been, again, very significant. If you look at the three key raw materials which we use, styrene monomer, butadiene, and acrylonitrile, there have been, if I look in quarter on quarter, raw material prices have not changed too much. Butadiene prices did increase if I look at year on year. Similarly, acrylonitrile prices have remained, acrylonitrile and styrene prices have largely remained stable. However, as far as raw material changes are concerned, that has not impacted us significantly because we have been able to pass on those increases to customers, as is reflected in our realization. There is no significant inventory gain or loss in this quarter as well that we see. With regards to the CAPEX numbers, there is engineering studies which are almost closing. We have some idea of how the, CAPEX will be and what kind of expansion we will be able to, achieve with that. However, we are in the process of ascertaining the same and ensuring that we have the right information and we are sure of it before we release that information into the public domain, which we plan to do in a short period. But as Mr. Bhupesh has already highlighted, we are on track to meet our expansion schedule as earlier indicated.
Hey, so just one follow-up if you can allow. So Rahul, then what would you attribute this improved profitability to, and plus that on a lower volume? Help me understand that.
Nirali, there have been some movements in freight as well. I think in the earlier quarter I had mentioned that in the next quarter there might be some changes in freight. We saw some price movements on account of international freight, particularly for the first month, which was in July. However, that normalized in August and September. So there is some impact of that. There is some impact, of course, of product mix as well. And finally, there is also an impact of certain better price realizations on account of optimization at our end for those specific products. So it's really a combination of all these different factors which have resulted in the numbers that you see for this specific quarter.
And we can assume that this will be sustainable given all the efforts that we are taking in the similar direction.
As you have seen, you know, and I have emphasized, you know, in earlier calls as well, one has to look at annual performance because, you know, quarter on quarter, there are changes because of these different markets that we cater to. There are certain markets for which demands are not necessarily entirely even across the year, but on an annualized basis, we get a truer picture. So I think if you look at it from that perspective, we are definitely on the right trajectory, and it would be sensible. I think it would behoove us to do that kind of an analysis instead of quarter on quarter.
Perfect. Thank you so much, Ahil.
Thank you.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Pooja Doshi, who is an individual investor. Please go ahead.
Yeah, hi. Thanks for taking my question. So I wanted to know, what is our current OEM, non-OEM mix, target mix, and any new client addition that you want to talk about in the OEM space? That's the first question. The second is, can you just give a few examples of value-added grades that you are planning to develop? What would be the margin profile versus traditional products? And how do you see the mix changing? The third would be, what is the purpose behind setting up a subsidiary in UAE? If you could just broadly talk about it. Yeah, those are the three questions.
Okay, thanks, Pooja. I mean, as you know, we are engaged in two lines of business. One is what we call ABS and SAN, and the other one is polystyrene. Our OEM percentage in the ABS SAN mix has been always a little bit higher than 50%. And, you know, we are tracking the same. We have seen incremental increases only in the OEM percentage. As far as polystyrene is concerned, our OEM sales were much lower historically. That has increased. So if it was, you know, less than 25%, we are seeing increases going up to 30% or higher than 30%. And there is an ongoing effort to increase that further. In terms of value-added grades, we have launched two new brands, as we have indicated in our investor presentation. One is Styroloy and the other is Acelac. Styroloy is a blend of PC ABS, nylon ABS and other products. And in the case of Acelac, it's ASA, which is a weatherable product, which has applications again in automotive and other industries. So, you know, these grades have come into the fold. Today, the percentage of these grades sold in the overall product mix is still small, but we have seen a fantastic response from all our customers and a very fast rate of adoption and qualification across all key customer segments. So we do see, you know, growth there to be quite good. But the order of magnitude today is probably a few hundred tons, which you know, which we expect, you know, to increase significantly quarter on quarter, and I think the next year is when we will see the full effect of all these additional products that we are adding into the mix. Even in the existing product lines, we have started with more FR products in the case of ABS, HIPS, pre-colored in the case of HIPS. All these are also continuously adding to our overall product mix. It's hard to quantify exactly what that percentage is today, but definitely that's a trend in which we see a higher percentage of value-added products in the mix. As far as the UAE subsidiary is concerned, as you are aware, you know, we are largely focused on the domestic market in India. And as we expand capacities, we do believe we will look for opportunities internationally. And we do understand and believe that UAE will be the right place for us to carry out our international activities as a base. Hence, that's the logic of setting up the subsidiary over there to carry out business in the near and medium-term future for Styrenics at a global level.
Okay, understood. So I just have two more questions. So you said that you will update us on the CAPEX plan of that 650 crore. Just wanted to know if you have any idea about the asset turns at this moment and how do you plan on funding the CAPEX? And with this huge CAPEX, is there any change in our payout policy? Yeah, like those two are the other two questions.
So like I said, the engineering studies for at least part of the 650 crores is nearing completion. And we have some sense of what will be the capex required, and when would the expansion timeline be frozen. However, we are ascertaining that and being sure of all our numbers before we release it into the public domain. So that will be forthcoming soon. I think the payout policy or whatever, as I mentioned in the past, is all a function of how best those resources of the company can be utilized. If we do believe that the expansion can be brought forward and funds are required for the same, then the funds would be demarcated towards that purpose. However, if we believe that is going to be prolonged, then the funds may be distributed as would be the management decision at that time. So I think we will take that decision into advisement at the right time. However, there will be some kind of information which will be forthcoming from our end vis-a-vis once we have complete clarity on all our numbers with regards to capex and the expansion plan.
Sure. And do we hold on to our 15-20% volume growth guidance and 18-20 rupees EBITDA per kg guidance for FY25, or is there a change?
We have never given any guidance on rupees per kg. These are all in numbers which have been inferred or implied based on our discussion and investor calls. And we do not also even now give any such guidance. However, as far as volume growth is concerned, we have given some indications of how our capacities would grow over year, and our volumes would follow along with those capacities, and we are maintaining the same guidance currently.
All right, thanks. That's it from my side. All the best.
Thank you.
Thank you. The next question is on the line of Aditya Ketan from Smith Institutional Equities. Please go ahead.
For the opportunity. Sir, my first question is on to the ABS and polystyrene. Sir, this quarter we had debottlenecked the capacity. So, any sir broad numbers you can give on to the top line, how much top line would be added from this PS, and what is the timeline when we can achieve the peak utilization level here? And similarly for the ABS, what would be the expected top line and how much time we will achieve the peak level?
So typically, Aditya, we have had a revenue split of between 65-70% to about 30% between ABS and PS historically. You can assume that as a basis. In terms of polystyrene, we have completed our debottlenecking exercise, as was mentioned in the opening remarks by the CFO. So on our earlier realized volume, maximum volume of about 65,000 tons, we believe that our enhanced capacity after debottlenecking would be to the tune of 100,000 tons. This is, of course, on an annualized basis. We have completed the debottlenecking by end of September, and we have gradually now ramping up to realize that entire capacity. We do believe that the next financial year, we would have the benefit of the entire capacity, which would be 100,000 tons. To that effect, in this year, you would have to assume a number between 65 and 100, considering that the debottlenecking has happened in the half, after half part of the year. With regards to ABS, also I think we have given some idea of what would be our production numbers. So I think you have to assume that we are on track to reach those numbers, and top line and of both ABS and PS as per the earlier revenue splits can be extrapolated to get those numbers.
Okay. Sir, any broad figures if you can help? So this 40,000 tons of polystyrene can add somewhere around 400 to 450 crore to the top line?
Yeah, that would be a fair estimation. Of course, as you know, that the pricing of polystyrene or ABS for that matter tracks with raw material pricing, which can be volatile as we have seen historically. But assuming current pricing of RM, that would be a fair estimation to make.
Got it. Sir, my second question is on to the raw material side. Sir, on sequential basis, on most of the, we had seen that the raw material prices have been slightly up. But sir, in our case, there has been a benefit in terms of the lower raw material prices, or there is some inventory gain benefit that has been clearly seen. Any idea, sir, you can give this boost in EBITDA on sequential basis and on per kilo basis also when we calculate the growth and EBITDA, so we are standing at the highest level. how this is like, is this related to the better product mix or higher the OEM contribution, or there is some inventory gain benefit which is there?
Like I've already mentioned, there is no significant inventory gain in this last quarter. It is on all account of the two or three factors which I've mentioned. One is, of course, OEM, non-OEM. There is also a product mix factor which may or may not be related to OEM or non-OEM. Certain additional value-added grades being added into the product mix. There is, of course, certain better price realizations on account of certain freight-related movement which was in the earlier part of the quarter, which, of course, normalized in the last 2 months of the last quarter as well. So, you know, all these factors have played a role in achieving the numbers that we have in the last quarter, as I mentioned and explained earlier.
Just a follow-up on to this. So, sir, is there any idea? So, where are we? From where are we taking the raw material, acrylonitrile, styrene and butadiene?
So, a lot of this information is easily available. You know, styrene comes from, again, styrene and acrylonitrile are largely imported into the country. Acrylonitrile, of course, there is now some domestic production as well. Butadiene is largely or completely sourced locally. So, and the manufacturers for this is well known. So, that information can be found easily online.
Okay. Sir, just one point to clarify here, sir. What we have heard from some of the other companies that the butadiene prices in India is much higher as compared to the European market by around 15% to 20%. So that should have led to some higher raw material prices only in our product basket also. Any idea, sir, like how this has been in our case, like how this has been versus the other companies?
I'm sorry, are you mentioning that butadiene prices are higher in India or lower in India? I'm not clear. Can you repeat that?
The butadiene prices are higher in India by around 20% as compared to the European market. So players who are taking butadiene locally are at a disadvantage and their raw material price basket is a bit higher. So naturally, so margin should have been declined. So that's what I want to clarify. So, so that has not been in our case. So I wanted to know, so what has been the reason for this?
So there can be price volatility month on month, but as you know that all the three key raw materials are fairly large commodities, you know, with a fair amount of elasticity in pricing globally. So there would never be such massive arbitrages on a prolonged basis between any two specific regions globally. So I don't know if you are referring to a specific month, but on a medium to long-term basis, you know, this kind of price differential does not exist, you know, between butadiene or any other raw material or commodity material that we use. So we don't see any real gap, you know, on a sustained basis between our pricing as well as, you know, pricing for companies across the world.
Got it, got it. Thank you, sir. Thank you. That's it.
Thank you. The next question is on the line of Pritesh from Lucky Securities. Please go ahead.
Yeah. Hi. Can you hear me?
Yes, Pritesh. Go ahead.
Yeah. Sir, on your comments about the profitability change for the quarter, you mentioned that there was no RM, right? There was no significant product mix change. So is it fair to assume that the last part of the GP change is because of a better price realization that you realized in the quarter and which in turn was moving to higher pricing because of the freight issues and where the finished good usually comes from Southeast Asia?
You have any other questions, Pritesh, or that's it?
So I would like to know then what is the sustainability of these prices as of now? What are the prices? My second question is the natural gas benefit, conversion of natural gas to renewable, is implemented in the September quarter in one of the Dahej plant. Is it fair to assume that the benefits of it will now flow incrementally? And when will, and you know, Dahej is basically a polystyrene plant. So when will the benefits or will your project get implemented in your ABS plant? And when will the benefits accrue on these two areas? And my third question is, in the next 4 quarters or 12 months, what is the ABS capacity that you will bring on production, the newer brownfield capacity?
Anything else, Pritesh, or that's it?
No, sir. As of now, these things.
Okay. As far as the last quarter is concerned, I did mention that there are, of course, product mix changes which do happen naturally between quarter and quarter. This is not necessarily a trend per se, but we do see some product mix changes which did take place. There was, of course, also higher price realizations, as you have correctly seen. Some of it is also attributed not only to product mix change, but also to the freight movements. Of course, this was largely restricted to the first month of the quarter, which then quickly normalized in the subsequent 2 months of the quarter. The third part is, of course, we have also done, like I mentioned, some optimization in our own formulations of products and pricing. So in terms of costing, that has also improved, which has also led to better price realizations. I think overall, in terms of sustainability, I think, again, I mentioned looking at it quarter-on-quarter can be a little misleading. So it's better to look at an annualized level. Annualized, we do see changes or movements which can happen in a quarter or two in any given year on account of freight or any other reason. But on an annualized basis, we are, again, kind of in a trend which is in line with the direction that we are working with in terms of cost rationalization, in terms of better operating leverage on account of capacity being built, better product mix. So I think a lot of that is being seen in the quarter. So I think that is how I would look at it. As far as natural gas and renewable is concerned, you're right, it has been done very recently. So some benefits would accrue incrementally, but the real full year benefit we will see in the next financial year. We are also doing things gradually. As you know, these are all continuous product plants and highly sensitive to process conditions, which can be affected on account of process parameters, on account of fuel or what kind of fuel we use in terms of temperatures and such things. So this has to be done in a gradual manner, which will not affect product quality, output, or safety in any way. So this all has to be taken into account. And we will be doing this gradually, and you will see the full benefit of the same in the next financial year. But you will see some benefits in the following quarters as well. In case of ABS, we did some exercise where we outsourced steam in one of our plants, and this has been mentioned in one of the investor presentations much earlier on. And that has led to a significant benefit on an annualized basis already for us. As far as our other plants are concerned, we are looking to change again to renewable, and that would happen in the next few months. Realistically, we would see the benefit of those kind of changes in cost rationalization in the next financial year. But you would see potentially some benefit in the next quarter, but it's a little bit early to be sure of that, depending on when that project is completed. As far as ABS capacities are concerned, whether it is debottlenecking or brownfield, I think this has been elaborated in the earlier investor presentations, and all we can say, we are either in line or well ahead of schedule to complete the same.
So my question was on ABS, how much in the next 12 months you will get capacity addition from this current 100,000?
So I think we have mentioned that this is an incremental process. So again, hard to quantify at this stage, but an annualized basis, we will be in line with what we have mentioned in our investor presentation.
Okay. On my the renewable energy question, so Dahej was the first plant where you have implemented this, right? The other plants, the implementation will come now and the benefits will flow in thereafter, right?
Yeah, so there are a few things which we have done with regards to fuel. In the case of Nandesari, which is where we make rubber, we changed, and we outsource steam now over there, which we have explained in the earlier in our earlier investor presentation, which has led to significant saving for us already, because that steam also uses renewable sources of energy. already, but it's outsourced given the land requirements of Nandesari and how to best optimize the same. This is what we decided as a management to do. So that benefit started accruing, in fact, as of January of this year itself. In the case of Dahej, is where we have obviously installed our own system, and we will see, we are starting to see some benefits now, and again, full benefits we will see next year.
In Moxie, that's main the ABS.
So Moxie is a compounding facility. You know, they don't use really any fuel. You know, fuel would be used more in Kathol, where the sand production takes place.
So in Kathol, when will even Kathol has gone through, or it will go through the renewable change?
Next few months is when we are anticipating to complete that.
Okay, that will be completed in the next few months. Okay. And just one question on my first question on the profitability part. I understand your answer. Is it fair to assume that the more sustainable profitability at the GP level, based on whatever changes have happened between quarter one and quarter two, will be somewhere midway between quarter one and quarter two GPs?
Hard to quantify at this stage, Pritesh. I would not hazard a guess, but I think when you look at year on year and you look at specific quarters, we do know that specific quarters behave in a certain way due to a certain product mix, which is driven by demand in those specific industries in those specific quarters. That is why it is better to compare it year on year. And on an annualized basis, as long as you're able to see the overall benefits in the organization based on the steps the management is taking, then we know what we're doing, we are on the right track.
Okay, sir. Okay. But directionally, we will see GP improvement on a year-on-year basis, and we will see OPEX reduction as well via the conversion to renewable, right? These both things have to play out eventually, right?
Right. So, I mean, like I said, you know, the three so-called pillars of our strategy remain the same. One is, we do cost rationalization measures through different means. We try to get better operating leverage with higher capacities, build-up and utilization. And finally, obviously, better product mix. And that strategy is still exactly what we are following today. And we do see benefits of the same on an annualized basis, for sure.
You had given a 2 lakh volume guidance earlier in your quarters for FY25. Is that guidance intact considering what volume number you've done for H1?
So 2 lakh is what we've given on production. And I think, like I said, our sales volume would follow that and would probably, we'll be in line with whatever we have said in terms of growth for this year.
Okay. Thank you very much and all the best to you.
Yeah, thank you.
Thank you. A reminder to all the participants that you may press star and one to ask a question. The next question is from the line of Ranveer Singh from Yashvi Securities. Please go ahead.
Hi, Rahulji. How are you?
Very good, Ranveer. Tell me.
Rahulji, I had a couple of questions. I'll ask all of them at once. So, question number one was, Rahulji, do crude oil prices impact our raw material prices? That's question number one. Question number two is, how are contracts with our customers decided? Say, for example, is it something like, we sign a contract with them to say that we'll supply you XXX tons for the next 3 months at a certain price? Or is it like on a made-to-order basis? And are we able to pass on raw material price changes to customers efficiently? And question number three is, recently, we are witnessing that there is a slowdown in the auto sector. So, does this also impact our sales? These are the three questions, Rahulji.
Okay. Thanks, Ranveer. So, as far as crude oil is concerned, crude oil, of course, has an impact on a lot of the basic, chemicals. So, crude oil has a very strong correlation with, for instance, benzene. Now, benzene is one of the key raw materials for styrene monomer. However, what we have seen is while crude oil and benzene have correlated or tracked quite, predictably, correlation between benzene and styrene has not necessarily been, elastic in that sense. So I think the supply chain dynamics of our raw materials has been slightly different from that of crude oil. So while crude oil on a very, very long-term basis would have a fairly strong correlation, many times on specific quarters or specific years, we may not see that stronger correlation depending on the demand-supply scenario of our key raw materials. And that is a case we have seen in recent past as well. However, I think this kind of flows into your next question that while this is important, this is not 100% relevant as far as, you know, our pricing and our margins are concerned, because a lot of our contracts are dependent on publication pricing of key raw materials, and the contracts with many of our customers are decided vis-a-vis formulations, vis-a-vis formula pricing, and these formulas are derived from, you know, commodity pricing, which is published and transparently available. So we are able to effectively pass on, is what your question was, you know, what increases or decreases that we see in our raw materials to our final customers as well. This is for bulk of the business. Of course, there is some business where it is open as well. In terms of auto slowdown, we do supply into two-wheelers, four-wheelers, commercial vehicles, the entire segment. We, in fact, have a large presence in EVs as well. So if I look at the entire breadth of the auto industry that we supply to, you know, our demand has still been quite good. We may have seen slowdown in certain pockets, as you rightly know. However, in other pockets, the demand has been quite good. So for us, it has all, you know, been even, and we have still seen a decent growth in our numbers.
Okay. Rahulji, can I ask a follow-up?
Yeah.
So finally, like, so where my questions came from is, like, I saw that crude oil prices slashed by 25% from, say, July, August, September, these 3 months. So, sir, going forward, can there be any pressures on our margins?
I think I answered that question in the previous answer that crude oil prices may or may not have an impact, first of all, on our raw materials. And again, our raw materials, you know, determine our pricing of our finished products. In the case of where we have contracts, anyways, it is fixed vis-a-vis formula. So it really doesn't have any impact on, you know, absolute margins. Percentage margins, of course, will vary based on pricing movements. But in terms of absolute contributions, I think we are still well protected in spite of, say, movements in crude oil pricing.
Okay. Thank you, Rahulji. Best of luck and congratulations on a great set of numbers.
Thank you, Ranveer.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Meet Parikh, who is an individual investor. Please go ahead.
Thank you for the opportunity. Hi, Rahul sir. I had a question related to the working capital changes. This year, for the first half, we had almost 210 crores of increase, attributed to 123 from inventories and 78 from trade receivables. So I understand that, you know, our business is expanding, it's a new chapter, we are growing. But I would still, if you could throw some light onto this rise in inventory, obviously revenues are increasing, but it is slightly more in proportion to that. So if you could throw some light on that. Thank you.
Yeah, so it's I am Bhupesh here. So Meet, you are very correct. So inventories and trade receivables have increased. So as trade payables have also increased. Yeah. So somewhere compensating on the inventories part of that. Yeah. So receivables have increased because of particular rates which has gone higher. So the volume in comparison to the last quarter, the receivables are higher. Inventories. Yeah, some of the inventories we have kept intentionally high because of some of the other debottlenecking exercise going on, so that in future we don't lose the sales. Like in September we had the polystyrene also debottlenecking exercise. We are soon going to start the rubber debottlenecking exercise also. The second reason for inventories is that sometimes it happens at the end of the quarter or end of the month, you get some of the vessels coming together instead of coming in fragmentation. So that's the reason inventories were higher. So maybe it is a temporary effect. at the end of the year, we see a more normalized inventories at the end of the year.
Thank you, Mukherjee. That was helpful. Thank you.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Chirag Shah from Dalal & Broacha. Please go ahead.
Yeah, hi. Can you hear me?
Yeah.
Yeah. First of all, congratulations on a great set of numbers. Sir, I had two questions. One was, of course, a repeat question. And of course, so the first question is, sir, we are doing this fuel mix change across all of our plants. And I believe in one of our calls earlier, we had said that that should contribute around 2 to 3 rupees per kilo kind of efficiency, productivity gains. So do we still believe that will happen? That is the first question. And the second question, yeah, Ms. lot of participants have actually asked it, and of course you have also answered it, but I think so what most participants want to know is, so we have seen a significant jump in this quarter's profitability per ton. Is the EBITDA per ton has moved? We were always in the range of 15,000 to 18,000 per ton kind of EBITDA, and which has now moved to around 25,000. So, yes, we understand it. There are a lot of one-offs. Maybe there are some structural changes as well. But where does it settle? I mean, does it settle? You said that, okay, let's look at YOY basis. Don't look it on a sequential basis. But where does this settle? Does it settle near on the upper side of, say, around 18 or K per ton? Or does it settle structurally at a higher level because of the product mix change or operating leverage? And so I think maybe some better sense will definitely help us.
Yeah, Chirag. So with regards to fuel, I don't believe we have given any specific guidance of 2 to 3 rupees per kg. We might have explained how fuel cost works in terms of calorific value and the cost of producing steam, which varies based on fuel type. So I think we still believe that to be the case. Of course, all of those numbers are dependent on what is the cost of natural gas versus what is the cost of renewable fuel. We still believe there is a strong business case, in terms of the delta between the two costs, and of course that measured as per unit of calorific value that we are able to generate from each of those fuel sources. So that indeed holds true. And we will see benefit. Again, it's a little difficult to quantify the exact benefit in terms of rupees per kg in the final product or, for that matter, in the price per steam. I think we'll be in a better position to do that once we have an annualized saving that we are able to demonstrate. So I think we have been able to demonstrate that for one of our plants, like I mentioned, for our rubber plant. And we have got significant savings over there in the fuel, in the steam cost that we are consuming. And we will see, similar if not higher savings in the case of our other plants where we are conducting the same kind of, process improvement and as well. The other benefit, of course, this also gives us is it moves us from using, fossil fuels or non-renewable into renewable, which helps in meeting our sustainability targets. As you know, this is becoming increasingly important, not only for us, but for all our, key stakeholders, including our customers. And this is a very positive change for us in that direction. And net-net, there is cost saving and sustainability, which is both demonstrating a big positive for the company. But in terms of exact quantification, we'll see that going forward. There will be some incremental changes in the quarter, but next year we'll see the full effect. As far as EBITDA per ton,
but you believe there will be, that is the case for substantial savings?
Yes. With regards to, product mix, yes. There is a product mix which has changed in this specific quarter. And, quarter on quarter, we do see changes in product mix, which does affect our EBITDA per ton. It's very difficult to say exactly what that is going to be. That's why I always say it is better to look at on an annualized basis where there is less noise in terms of specific factors impacting, a monthly or a quarterly EBITDA. On an annualized basis, we get a much better picture of, overall product sales of different, product categories that we supply. All we can do is in terms of management strategy is to move towards a better product mix and better operating leverage, both which will contribute to better realizations. And that is a case we have seen ever since we have taken over management control in November 22, and we are continuing to demonstrate the same.
No, absolutely. No. That's 100%. No, thank you. I think so. Yeah, thanks. Thank you for the answer and all the best. Yeah, thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Rohit Ori from Progressive Shares PMS. Please go ahead.
Thank you. Hi, Rahul. A couple of questions. The first one being, can you take us through the progress of Toyo Engineering for this expansion of 150 KT EPA at Dahej for the HIPS line? By when will that be ready? And what is the money that you have deployed and what sort of return should we expect going forward? And are these margin accretive or some value-added products that you are looking at?
Thanks, Rohit. So, you know, we awarded the contract to Toyo only recently. This, I think we mentioned also in our, statement that this is almost kind of a 6 to 7 month type of an engineering study which has to be carried out. The value of the engineering contract also has been mentioned. Now, at the end of the engineering study, we do anticipate to be able to augment our HIPS capacities. So, currently we do believe that we're able to effectively, more than double the HIPS capacity that we have. There is certainly bottlenecking which is going on in our existing HIPS capacity, which should ideally augment our existing HIPS capacity by around 30 to 50%. And when we look at a new HIPS line for which we have, awarded the engineering contract to Toyo, we do anticipate to have a new HIPS line with that augmented capacity, if not higher than that. That, of course, is also within the scope of the engineering study, to what extent we can, we can augment, given the kind of engineering design and process philosophy we have with the existing HIPS production. We do believe, that this project, based on a very initial estimation, would be, value accretive. However, this will all depend on, once we have the engineering study carried out, we would know exactly what the capex amount would be and when that would be completed and exactly what the capacity, would be. So these are, of course, very key variables to determine exactly the return on that investment. And in the absence of those key variables available, it is hard to give a number to you in this call as of now. It is just, our management, kind of estimation that that would be the case, and on the basis of which we have taken management approval or board approval to start the engineering study itself.
Okay. Ram, can you take us through the global demand, the strength, weakness, or maybe some discounting that we see in PS, HIPS, or maybe GPPS prices because of the entire volatility that is happening in the system as of now?
So, global demand, I'm not sure, in terms of how entirely relevant it is for the Indian market. There is, of course, a knock-on effect when there is a huge supply overhang or supply constraint globally in India. However, this does not translate to 100% impact on how we conduct our business in India. There are specific OEM, specific contracts which require local players, which require local production, which also require customized grades, right, which is also something we are looking to do in all the products that we are doing, whether it's ABS or, polystyrene, including HIPS for that matter. So, these all are somewhat insulated from what happens at the global level. We are very much focused on first trying to, meet the requirements of our domestic customers before we venture, outside. So, I think we are still on track to do that, and we do believe that whatever we have seen in the past few quarters has already considered, or past few years for that matter, since you have taken over management control, we do see that whatever global impact could happen on the Indian market has already happened or is happening as we speak. So there is not much that is going to necessarily change in that context going forward. So we can keep that same set of parameters as relevant in terms of impact to the Indian market. And within within that kind of environment, we are able to achieve what we are looking to do.
Without anticipating any sort of seasonality effect, which generally comes in the month of December with certain blink volumes or something of that sort.
I think we will see all those things. I think year on year, like I said, there is seasonality demand which happens for specific sectors. There are kind of peaks and troughs associated with different customers that segments that we cater to, and I think that will continue to remain. However, the the height of the peak or the depth of the trough may change. So that of course would impact exactly what those volumes would be for that quarter.
I know you spoke about crude oil and formula based pricing. My question is that how frequently or what sort of periodic research do we see, or how many months it takes to pass on the prices to the customers?
So many times it does happen that the change may happen. Most of the times, rather, it will happen that change happens in the month itself. There is no real lag in terms of pricing which we have on terms of RM and our customers. However, there could be fewer instances where there are quarterly pricing involved, where we could see a quarter lag. But by and large, in terms of the contracts we have, it's a monthly pricing.
Mm-hmm. And can you share your views or your estimates related to the competition or maybe the import pressure which comes on SPML due to Southeast Asian countries like Taiwan, South Korea, Thailand, maybe Malaysia? Have we been able to get some market share from there? Have we increased our market share in these geographies?
So I think on a steady state basis, if I look at it during INEOS's management time, we were doing close to 47,000 tons of PS. Last year, as you know, we did about 65,000 tons, and this year, we are projecting to do higher. I think we are on track to meet that kind of volumes. I think you have a sense of what the overall growth in the market is. So we are definitely taking some market share, in that form. And like I said, the competitive pressures that we have seen since we have management control is the same and is likely to remain the same. So in the face of that, we have not seen any challenge in being able to acquire market share with increasing production output.
Okay, that's quite encouraging. Last question, Bhupeji. Can you take us through this contingencies which are arising from central GST and central excise, which was somewhere around 98.11 lakh? Have we already provided for this, or should we be seeing some exceptional item going forward in the second half?
So when there are contingencies, it means we have a firm legal aspects on it, ki these cases will be coming in our favor. It means we have not provided for it. That's the reason they are contingent liabilities. And if you see between previous year and this year also, the contingencies have been reduced drastically because few of the cases have came in our favor, and we are hopeful ki others will also fall in line with what has happened in past, as and when cases comes.
Okay, Guruji. Rahul, thank you for answering my question. Thanks a lot. All the very best for your future. Thanks a lot.
Yeah.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Marut Shah, who is an individual investor. Please go ahead.
Hello, am I audible?
Yes.
Yeah, Marut. Go ahead.
Yeah, so I wanted to know about the overall ABS market. I'm actually new to your company, so I wanted to understand how much is the capacity, current capacity of ABS in India, and how much is the overall demand, and what percentage is we do, and what percentage is currently imported.
So the ABS demand as of last year, I can give you numbers, was about 320,000 tons. Out of which last year, we did close to around, 85 to 90,000 tons. And this year we are projected to do a little over 100,000 tons of ABS. This is what we are doing in terms of our whole market share. The competition, I think, publishes their numbers, so you can check them on their website. And the balance would be, of course, imported into the country.
Okay. I see some capacity addition from some of our competitors. And so will that have any impact on our volumes, like our market share?
So, you know, close to 50% or higher numbers are still currently being imported into the country. So I think given the timelines of expansions which are coming in by us and our competitors, we do believe that the market will be large enough to absorb most of the volumes which should be produced domestically. We also believe that the consumers domestically would prefer to buy from domestic suppliers. So a lot of the market gains for all domestic production will come at the cost of or expense of imports which are currently happening into the country. So we do believe that while there might be short and medium term kind of situations which may put some pressures, you know, from a longer term perspective, we do see, all the incremental capacity additions being comfortably consumed by the Indian market.
Okay. Thank you very much.
Yep.
That's it.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Krunal Shah from Enam Investments. Please go ahead.
Hello, Rahulji. I have two questions. One is on the debottlenecking polystyrene that we had in Q2. Can you just share your assessment of the lost sales in PS because of that in Q2? And the second question is in terms of the value-added styrolol and SLX. You said, you know, the run rate is like 200 tons. So just a clarification I wanted, is it like a quarterly run rate or the annual run rate is 200 tons? That's it. Thank you.
Yeah. Thanks for your questions, Kunal. So in terms of the lost sales, I think we have lost about 3,500 tons to 4,000 tons of lost production and probably some of it also sales. As far as polystyrene is concerned, on account of the shutdown we had to take to augment the overall capacity of the of polystyrene. In terms of styroloy and acrylic, we are doing up to now close to 100 tons a month, and I think this number, of course, is on a, because it's still a low base, we have seen a significant growth month on month, which will, kind of be a significant addition to our overall product mix in the next financial year.
Got it. Thank you so much.
Sure.
Thank you. As there are no further questions, I would now like to hand the conference over to Mr. Chintan Doshi for the closing comments.
Thank you, investors, communities, for joining the call and showing interest in our company. And we will look forward to answer you in the next quarter at suitable time. Thank you.
Thank you. On behalf of Styrenix Performance Materials Limited, that concludes this conference. Thank you for joining us, and you may now disconnect your lines.